Let's pray. Oh, Lord, how glorious you are, how good. Your love and your wisdom unfathomable, your mercy is never ending. And we ask that you would come and you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, and make known to us the wonders of Jesus and the grace and peace of that flows from his heart and from the Father's throne to us. Open our eyes and our minds and our souls to receive what you have for us. To the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. We had a great time with our family, our kids, our two grandchildren. I have pictures. And, so we had our grandchildren for a couple of days ourselves. The doctor said you could either join a gym or chase your two-year-old, your four-year-old. So we're doing the latter. You know how that goes. And it was great fun. You know, you're just a lot more peaceful as a grandparent. You know, I mean, you'll get there. You know, when Brooks went into the living room and took an ornament off the tree and hurled it across the living room, I said, I think we got a pitcher in our family. My son got a completely different reaction when he was that age. Their movie for the last 2 years, especially this year, has been Polar Express. Are you familiar with that movie? So we do the Santa Claus is fun pretend. Kids understand a bit about pretend. And Ember has been watching that movie, my four-year-old, for last year and this year intently, and Brooks has been watching it. And so I was sitting in the living in the family room, and she was in my lap and watching the movie. And in a portion of the movie, the ticket gets lost, and it goes blowing out the window. And then it gets trampled in the snow by the wolves, and then an eagle picks it up and starts in its beak and starts flying down a mountain and into the waterfall. And I go, oh! And my four-year-old granddaughter leans over to me and says, don't worry, Papa, it's going to be okay. I read the book. We've sang the truth. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. We've celebrated the birth of the Prince of Peace. That coming of him is not just that one time of the, the incarnation, but a daily coming to us, the Prince of Peace, to bring peace between our life and the life and the presence of God, to be our life in the midst of this. But one of the things that this has been a wonderful series as I have been reflecting on it, following it, peace, the gift of peace, what a great title, because it is in fact a gift. I've decided it's not something you can conjure in yourself. We don't get to, like joy, I'm going to be joyful today. You know, that doesn't work that way. We have peace with God, we talked about peace with others, peace within. For some of us, we think, well, you know, we look at Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there's no longer any sea. The sea was a source of chaos to the Hebrew. They were desert dwellers, not seagoers. And I saw a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. And it goes on, God said, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, for the former things have passed away. And we go, then we'll have peace. How many of you sort of said, until then, we sort of hang on? That's how we feel, sometimes we feel. But the idea of then peace forever, beginning at that point, we get it quite wrong. I entitled this sermon, not peace forever, but forever peace. Because we don't have to wait for then. What I see in all of the beauty of what's coming in Revelation, the kingdom of this earth has become the kingdom of our God, and he will reign over it, is that all of creation will be in harmony with the perfect pleasing will of God, our Father, and there will be none of the other stuff that's not part of that perfect, pleasing will. But you and I dwell in that now. We don't have to wait till then. That is what the word was. So this has forced me to think, and that's a good thing to think. You know, we're in a culture that we like amusement. Amusement means to not think. And so I thought about peace and what does it really mean to live and to be a life of peace. One of the problems for my wife is that she is a golden retriever and she's just wonderful, and I am a lion A-type personality. So, you know, she often accuses me of, have you seen that cartoon of Goofy in the car when he gets on the highway? I said, I'm not that bad. You have seen it, haven't you? I am not that bad. I really am not. I'm not that good, but I'm not that bad. The idea here is, what does it look like to have a life of peace in this broken, complex, difficult world? How do we experience that? So there was a time when I had this illusion that to be a man of peace was sort of like being Mr. Spock, detached, no emotions. So we went around sort of unfeeling. And that was the idea of peaceful when I was early on in this. What does it mean to be a peaceful person? Years ago, there's the greatest story ever told by Cecil B. DeMille. And I saw that some months ago, and I go, oh, I think I'll watch that. I couldn't watch it anymore because Jesus wasn't real. He was this individual that seemed to be detached from what was going on. I much prefer the Jesus in Chosen, as someone who's approachable and genuine. So it's the idea of a false peace. I said, that's not how it is. It's not to be aloof to what is going on around us is not to be living in the peace of God. So I said to myself, well, let me take a look at how the Prince of Peace lived in this broken world. And, you know, that's a good thing to do. So how did Jesus do life? He's the Prince of Peace. Read the Gospels. I found some very interesting things about how he engaged in life. How did he do it? Well, I remember he turned to Peter, one of his disciples, whom he loved, whom he had chosen, and said to him, are you so dull? And he, did Jason ever say that to you, John? You know, those are pretty harsh words. Here's the Prince of Peace. Are you so dull? You know, he got troubled in his spirit in John 11 at the grave of Lazarus. He says, I'm troubled in my spirit. He was filled with compassion, but it's not compassion. His spirit was in turmoil over what he was saying. He was not emotionally detached from it. He got exasperated with the generation. He said in Mark 9, you faithless, twisted generation. Those are harsh, amazing words. This is the Prince of Peace. Now, this is not giving you permission to go out there and say this kind of stuff to people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is maybe we need to take a new look at what it means to experience and to dwell and live in the peace of God. He was angry. He was angry four or five times. He was angry when the callous religious leaders shut their heart off to a man with a withered hand and tried to use him to trap him. He was angry at them for that, for their callousness of heart to people in desperate situations. It says he was angry when they kept the children from him. The Prince of Peace was angry. He got verbal, called people the offspring of vipers. That was one of his more gentle pastoral moments. You know, Jesus is a very complex individual. Probably one that is, he got physical when he cleared the temple, but one that's probably most of you have never thought about. What does it mean when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion? And he turned to his disciples and said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Can I give you perhaps a modern equivalent? I am so depressed by what's happening and what I'm about to go through. I think that's a reasonable. So this is the Prince of Peace in the midst of this. One of the things that I find important for you and me is, as you're looking at life, is your faith molded by your interpretation of your life experience? Or is your life experience interpreted by your faith? As you're closing out 2024 and looking forward to 2025, that is an important thing that you need to wrestle with. How do you do life this way? Let me ask, give that to you again. Is your faith molded by your interpretation of your life experiences? God must not love me because this happened. Or is your life experiences interpreted by your faith? This is hard. God is at work in my life. I can rest in his goodness. How do you interpret life? How do you do that? It's very important for you, for us to do that. What are the ways in which you anchor your life? And, you know, it's important that you have your grounding in the scriptures and the knowledge of them, what is true about them. You know, that's true about the nativity story. Part of the thing is there's a whole lot of the nativity story that we sort of get wrong. I appreciated Jason pointing out, sorry, the Magi weren't at the stable, you know. I mean, it says they went into the house. So after it was all over, Joseph must have rented a house. Well, you know, it reminds me of the story where the father was watching his little child draw a nativity scene. And unfortunately for a lot of us, our nativity understanding is informed by the Christmas carols, not the other way around. So he asks his daughter, so who is this? Tell me about your drawing. She goes, well, this is the baby Jesus Christ. Yes. And this is his mother Mary Christ. And his daddy, Joseph Christ. Who's the big guy in the corner? Well, that's Round John Virgin. Is this angel Gabriel up in the sky? Oh no, that's Hark, the herald angel. Now let me just tell you something. I'll add one more to the nativity thing. The angels didn't sing. They spoke. What is the truth that you and I can live into that scripture says? I'm going to come back to what they spoke about because it's, in my mind, tremendously important. So the anchors for me in understanding and living in the peace of God is not trying to be something other than I'm not. The work of changing me, I submit to the work of the Spirit. That's part of your spiritual transformation. But I have three anchors. Actually, they were sung about or mentioned, all three of them. And the first one that I find in John 17:23, I mentioned this. Jesus, let me start it. The Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus Christ. If he has a computer, me and Jesus are on the screensaver. You and Jesus are on the screensaver. John 17:23, you go and read it. That's one of your anchors that you need to constantly say to yourself in the midst and in the face of life. The Father in heaven loves me as much as he loves Jesus Christ. And you're sitting there. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can I see a hand? The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you don't know those quiet, you know, ugly thoughts that go through my head. The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. But you don't know what I did and the mistakes I made as a parent. The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. You don't know that I destroyed my marriage. The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. He doesn't look at those things. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Can you say that to yourself? God loves me as much as he loves Jesus Christ. How could that be? He is so perfect that I am so not perfect. That's not the issue. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. The basic human need is that somebody knows us and loves us. And he knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know you. And he says, I love you as much as I love Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? That is an anchor for you to enter into the peace. Why? Because if I am not known and loved, I am completely alone. Completely alone. So often we go into relationships and we dating is one thing. Living together, that's a whole different deal, because then you get, you know, all the mask comes off. When you're married and you're all of a sudden living together, and it's like, if I let you know me, will you love me? Or will you slay me? Will you reject me? He knows everything about you. He knows that secret that you're holding that no one else knows. And he loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Say that to yourself. God loves me. Say it. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus Christ. In the same way he loves him. That's one of the anchors. How does God look at you? He looks at you with eyes of love. You and I, we look at the Father, we look at our Lord through eyes where we see nothing but our failures and our insufficiencies. But he looks at us like we're his precious two-year-old. The language used for us is little children, toddler. Because he knows what he's going to do in us and how he's going to get us finished. The second anchor I have is from Romans 8, that great passage, Romans 8:38. My daughter asked me years ago, Dad, which one are your favorite passages? I said, Romans 8:38 and 39. And she embroidered it for me. It's beautiful. But nothing in all creation can separate me from the love my Father has for me in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate. No powers, no illness, no sickness, no death, no demon, nothing. No tragedy, no heartache, no burden, no failure, no success, nothing. No mistake can separate you from the love that the Father has for you in Christ Jesus. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ, and nothing can take that away from you or can get in the way of it. Not even you can do that. And in the midst of this, with these anchors, how can life rob me of the peace that is ours? The third anchor that I have is it's found in Hebrews and quoted also from Deuteronomy 9. It's in Hebrews 13. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You're sitting there going, I quit praying a long time ago. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I got angry at God when he did such and such and let this happen. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Yeah, well, I quit because I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to, you walk away from me, I'm going to be right there with you. You cannot get away from me. My goodness and my mercy will follow you every day until it catches you. I am going to make you mine. I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, that is one of the greatest fears of the human experience, is to be utterly alone. There was a psychiatrist who was very gifted in helping people relive the greatest traumas of life that they've experienced. But they said the one thing they could not get people to re-engage in was when they were abandoned and alone. So in this mysterious thing called life, I am and you are loved as much as Jesus Christ. that nothing can take that love away. Nothing can get in the way of it. Nothing can stop it, slow it down, thin it out, or make it weaker. And he will never leave you. In your darkest days, he is closest. This last holiday, many of you had one less plate at the table. You had one less name on your gift list. Perhaps several less names on your Christmas card list. You look back over things, and you have all of these absences and griefs. And he says, I am here with love that will never leave you and that will never stop. That is where the framework for living in peace in this complex reality of life. But the angels, though they didn't sing, and you sang beautifully, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. See, that's the King James Version, and we like the King James Version, but they got it wrong. They were translating from the Byzantine text. There's an older text of the scriptures. And even in the modern translations, I think they missed something. And some, you know, I've heard people say to me, I want a word-for-word translation. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you don't, because you'll sound like Yoda. Because the way that the Greek is structured. So what the angel said, and the way most translate it, is the way this is the way is most translated. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people. That's good. It's peace to men, but it really means generic. It means men and women. On whom his favor rests, or who are well pleasured. Let me give you, though, the word for word. Glory in the highest to God, and upon earth, peace in people who are favored by him. Now, we always say peace to. No, it's peace in. It really is. And I know they translate, they say, rarely can you translate this word to. And I think they have done a disservice. I think it should be, because there's a parallel. Glory in the highest, peace in the people. There's a parallelism here. That peace is indwelling within us. It's a gift of God, just like the title says. It is the gift of peace that God has come through the Prince of Peace to put into us in the midst of a situation that will not be in harmony with his will until we see revelation. The Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest. And the people that are of his good pleasure, of people that are highly favored. It is a forever peace that you and I are to enjoy now. We will see all of creation come into harmony in Revelation, but the forever peace is for you and me today. And it doesn't mean that we're emotionally detached, but it means that in those moments of life that are challenging and difficult, we don't know what 2025 holds for us. We do know who holds 2025. Is that you and I can go into it knowing that we are loved, that nothing will get in the way of that love. It will never be abandoned in the midst of it. And we can know the peace of Christ which passes understanding because it is a gift from him to us, just like salvation and grace. It is the gift to him. You have eternal life? Does that start in Revelation 21? No, it starts now. What's it going to be like? It'll be fully realized in Revelation. But you have it now. The gift of peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It is one of the things that Paul begins his letters with so often. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the transforming work of the Spirit to put in us the peace that flows from his heart to us. His experience, his peace in you and me as we look forward to the time when all of creation will come into harmony with that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's one of the amazing things where our peace comes from, is that Christ indwells in you. He doesn't just love you from the outside. He is within you, manifesting his grace, manifesting his peace, and his spirit manifesting his joy, his patience, his kindness, his gentleness. This is the character of Jesus Christ that is to ooze out of us as he transforms us more and more into the image of the Son, the Prince of Peace that he loves. What a wonderful gift. So how do I get that? Well, there's one thing about being anchored and believing these truths, but there's more to it than just intellectually assenting, yes, I believe that. You need to, and I'm going to give you something to do, take time to care for your soul this coming year. Take time to rest in the presence of the peace of the God who loves you like he loves Jesus, of the God who will never let his love be taken from you, of the God who will never abandon you or lose you, that you sit still and know that he is God. Know him. John says eternal life is to know him, to experience him, to have him wrap his arms around you, to come upon you, to fill you. And more so in the most difficult of circumstances, until all the former things pass away. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. Wisdom from a 4-year-old who saw the movie. Wisdom from so many who have read the book. And the promise from the one who wrote it. Amen. I invite you to stand. Let me pray over you. And I bless you with grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to wait quietly for a moment. And there's a beautiful song that Becca often sings, and I speak Jesus over you. With your eyes closed, I speak Jesus over the wounds and traumas to your spirit. Whether as a child, as a young adult, as a teenager, I speak comfort and healing to your spirit when you were betrayed and lied to. I speak the healing of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to your heart when you were so down that you hated yourself. And the word is the Father has never stopped loving you. I take authority over any unclean spirits that have sent to cause you anxious and fear, and I break its power and I speak peace to you from God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As you're standing there, if you just in your mind just say, Lord, I give you my trauma, I give you my hurt, I give you my frustration. To those that have wounded you, lied to you, betrayed you, or hurt those that someone that you love, I want to ask you right now to say, Jesus, I forgive them and give them to you that I might dwell in peace. So, Father, come and by your Spirit, fill my brothers and sisters in this room and watching online with the peace that comes from your throne, that comes from your soul, that comes from Jesus Christ by your Spirit, each one of them, that they may know the peace of the Prince of Peace until the time when all of creation will be brought into harmony with you, and there will be no more crying or pain or sorrow or suffering, for the old order of things will have passed away. And God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.